The Thought Pool and the Three Steps into the Rapture. The following message was preached by Brother Amos on Sunday, the 19th of November, during the 2006 convention at Bible Faith Tabernacle, Lagos. I want to take a message this morning that I will title, The Thought Pool and the Three Steps into the Rapture. For our text, we want to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We will take it from verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them, shall not hinder them, which are asleep. Paul is talking about the rapture, the translation of the saints of God, the great catching away. Paul in 64 AD is dealing with the saints concerning the translation that is coming. But look at chapter 5, from verse 1 straight through to verse 9. He says, But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, Peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. Why? Because we have a revelation of the truth concerning this event. So we are not in darkness, because we are walking in a clear light. We have embraced the light of the evening time, which is the light of the sun, which gives forth its brilliant but sweetened light in the evening, just before the night falls. It is only at night the moon comes. Can I hear amen? We have embraced the light of the day star, which is the evening light. For the sunlight that rises in the east in the morning is the same light that sets in the west in the evening time. Hence, God promised in Zechariah 14, at the evening time, it shall be light. That evening light is the pure revelation of Jesus Christ, which broke forth in the first church age. Verse 4, But ye, brethren, and not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Why? He tells you why. Because ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep, as do others. Let us not sleep. Does that mean we should not go to bed at night? No. He is talking of spiritual sleep. I will rewrite it and say, please do not play with truth. Let us not play with truth, or have a shabby attitude to truth. Because if you play with truth, or have a negative attitude towards truth, you will be cut off from the flow of revelation, and when that happens, you are plunged into darkness. When a person sleeps in the natural, like I always say, he is shut off from natural reality. When you are asleep, you do not know what is going on around you. You are in another world. We call it a dream world. If at all you are dreaming. But you know some can sleep so sound until they do not even know anything. But a person that is spiritually asleep is also shut off from spiritual reality, just as a natural man who is asleep. And how do we attain spiritual reality? It is by following a true revelation. So when Paul says, let us not sleep, he is simply saying do not play with truth, but let us take it seriously. Because if you play with truth, you will be cut off, or put to sleep, because those who are sleeping are shut off from access to true revelation. It is a negative attitude to truth that causes a person to be cut off. That is what plunges them into darkness. That is what makes them to be asleep. What did prophet Isaiah say to the nation of Israel? He said, For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes, the prophets and your rulers. The seers hath he covered. What is the result of the sleep? And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, Read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, Read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Wherefore the law said, Forasmuch as these people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, they have removed their heart from the truth, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men, men's ideas and quotes. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid, putting them in a serious state of slumber. Isaiah 29 verses 10 to 14. As such, you have to see that the spirit of sleep signifies the fact that God shut them off from truth. The Jews were cut off from true revelation. For about 2,000 years, they have been shut off. As we continue in 1 Thessalonians, look at verse 5, as God speaks by His Spirit to the elect bride, ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and indeed be sober. The reality therefore is this, you cannot watch without a true revelation. Otherwise I will ask you, how do you watch? Is it by looking into the sky? Oh, the clouds are moving. Okay, let me look more closely into the sky, to see if I can see something, to see if I can see God move. That reminds me of a comic representation of two people watching a sketch portrayed in The Contender, of two people looking for the rapture. One went this way, and began to look into the clouds. Let me see if Jesus is coming. Let me see if Jesus is coming. He is looking into the cloud. The other one was looking for the rapture, with his head buried in the pages of the Bible. I ask you, of the two, who is truly looking for the rapture? Because, church, it takes a revelation to know anything about the rapture. And that revelation comes strictly from the pages of the Bible. Moreover, you must realize that the revelation you have is what keeps you awake and alert, that is, it keeps you aware and posted. Because you are in the know. That is why we are children of light. We are children of the day. We are not children of the night. We are not children of darkness. Birds of darkness are strictly tares, but birds of the day are eagles, God's eagles. Eagles are not birds of the night. Birds of the night are bats and owls. But we are eagles, children of the light. That is what Paul says in verse 6. Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. He is using that only as a type. But let us, who are of the day, be sober. Be sober. That does not mean you are to look gloomy and sad, as if your whole world has collapsed, as if God just took away every joy from your soul. That is not what it means to be sober. To be sober is not to have a long-drawn, sad face. To be sober just means to be level-headed, knowing something. It does not mean when I get to church, and I see my brother, I should not give him a smile. Maybe he's even low in the spirit, and that smile may be what would lift him up. I ask, who does not need love? Raise up your hand if you do not need love. Raise up your hand. Nobody raised up his hand. So, we all need love. It is therefore good to love and be loved. So, brothers and sisters, to be sober does not mean you should be morose and frown your face. You get sad countenance from people who are in a burial service because you do not go to a burial service laughing. Everybody goes a sad, with a long face. But we are not in a mortuary, are we? We are in a celebration house. We are celebrating truth, the truth of Jesus Christ. It is your liberty to express your joy. So if you are sober, it just means you are level-headed, or wisdom is guiding your life. Just be alert. Let that revelation post you. But you can give your brother a smile. You should. Verse 8. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith in love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Look at verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. In other words, we are not destined for the hour of the last great tribulation, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, we are talking about the third pool and the three steps into the rapture. In this chapter, Apostle Paul is saying we know something. That is why he says, I do not need to remind you. Why? Because they know the truth concerning the rapture, having already been dealt with on it. And saints, today, we possess the same understanding concerning this matter. Because we are children of light. Every child of light is put in the know by the dealership of the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter. He will give you an understanding as an elected seed of God, ordained as bride. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul already warned them prior to verse 16 concerning the rapture, when he said, "You don't need to be amazed." But for a background, we will take it from verse 15. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord." He said, "We." Yet Paul is not here today to be part of the living saints. Paul is gone. Yet, he said, "We which are alive." It is the Spirit of the Lord speaking through Paul on behalf of the living element of the bride of that hour. It is exactly the same as Brother Branham stated in the quote of "He that is to come." It may be the time, it may be the hour now that this great person that we are expecting. He used the word "we" as well. It was also the Spirit of God speaking through the mouth of the prophet on behalf of the bride of Christ. So also, it was the Spirit of Jesus Christ speaking through Paul on behalf of the living element of the bride saints at the very end, who would be beneficiaries of this promise. You have to see it like that because Paul is not part of the living saints. He is coming out of the grave. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or shall not hinder them which are asleep. For the Lord himself," I want to place emphasis on the prophetic statement. "For the Lord himself." But remember, even as it is written, no word of prophecy is of any private interpretation. No word of prophecy is. The Bible says, "For the Lord himself," not another. Church, this is the word that stumbles the denominational world. So they are waiting for Jesus Christ to physically come down and they will see him, literally. And as he is coming down, he does three things. Let me show you how the religious world sees it. When Jesus Christ is coming down from heaven, he comes visibly and literally with a shout, and with the literal voice of the archangel, and with an audible trump of God, which everyone will hear around the earth. "And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." That is the way they see it. Nevertheless, it is true that God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation, which is why we should comfort one another with these words of promise of translation which is to come. That is our portion. Yet there is a truth in this promise we must understand, "For the Lord will descend first with a shout, then with the voice of the archangel, and thirdly with the trump, and then the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with the risen saints. But before we are caught up, we shall first be changed," according to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 to 52. Please note that. "We shall first be changed before we are caught up with the resurrected saints." I am waiting honestly for the change. We shall be changed whilst in this physical body. God gave the prophet a foretaste of it. The Lord told him one day, when he was in the wilderness, "Walk with me, my son." He said, "I knew the Lord was beside me." And as he said, "All right, Lord, I will walk with you," something happened to him. He was suddenly changed, transformed back into a sweet 16. He lost all his baldness. You know, Brother Branham had to use something to cover his head because he always caught colds. Church, he was changed. He went into a spiritual vision, and here came his wife too, a sweet 16, Sister Hope. You have read it. He was thrilled beyond measure. Church, that change is coming. Before the living saints are caught up with the resurrected saints, we will first be changed. You have to add the Corinthian projection to this Thessalonian text, and you have a full picture concerning the translation. But this is where I am going. The religious world feel when Jesus Christ is coming back, he would come literally with a shout, and also with the voice of an archangel, and with a trump, and then we shall know what these three things mean. The question now is, how does Jesus himself descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with a trump? How does he fulfill it, or how does he come? These are the issues we want to consider. But remember, this is a prophecy. Church, the Spirit of the Lord, in 1 Thessalonians 4 verses 16 to 17, simply gives us the three steps into the rapture Because these are the three steps the Spirit of God would orchestrate to bring the rapture into a reality, and we must realize that each event is by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Yet, none of these events give us the physical manifestation of Jesus Christ in His flesh, for it is not Jesus Himself in His physical, corporeal body, it is Jesus Christ by His Spirit in a divine revelation. You are looking at a divine revelation of Christ, and these three steps is what leads us right into the rapture. The rapture itself, as Apostle Paul laid out by the Spirit of God, is a supernatural event which happens immediately we are changed, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Are you with me? That is an instantaneous supernatural event. That is why I call these three preceding prophetic events the three steps into the rapture. As such, the first step, the second step, and the third step are all by Jesus Christ, by His Spirit. It is a divine revelation. We will take the text again. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18. Church, the Lord shall descend Himself, first with a shout. Remember, we are talking this morning on the third pool, in relation to the three steps. Are you with me? The third pool, and the three steps into the rapture. Brothers and sisters, the first step into the rapture event gives us a shout. For the Bible declares, Christ Himself shall descend with a shout. What therefore is a shout? It is a message. It is an awakening message. That is exactly what correlates to the midnight cry of Matthew 25:6, for what Paul called the shout Jesus had earlier referred to as the midnight cry. They relate to the same thing. It is an awakening message. It is Jesus Christ by His Spirit in a divine revelation. That is why Matthew 25:10 subsequently and categorically declared, and Jesus came. Because 1 Thessalonians 4 text states, He shall descend Himself, but it is in the Spirit. It is by His Spirit. It is not a physical descent. It is preparatory to the rapture. As such, it is in a divine revelation that Christ descends, for it is a spiritual descent. Because Matthew 25:10 says, after the midnight cry, and Jesus came. When did He come? In 1963. He came in a divine revelation. And it is this spiritual, revelatory coming that constitutes the shout. It was Christ, by His Spirit, giving a shout, through the message of Elijah of Malachi 4:6b of the end time. But remember, 1963 was not when the shout started, but 1963 was the climax of the shout. For it was in that year the supernatural revelations that would complete. The voice of the seventh angel were being added, and the dealing of God lifted the message of the prophet to its greatest spiritual level as he entered into the third pool of his ministry. That was when Christ came spiritually. I therefore ask again, what is the shout? The shout, which is also the midnight cry of Matthew 25, is an awakening, preparatory message. It is a divine revelation, ordained to catch a bride for Christ from the organized religious world, and get her ready for the rapture. And it took Christ by His Spirit in a vessel at this end time, Elijah of Malachi 4:6b, to give it. But do not forget what we shared yesterday, and the day before. What is the third pool of Brother Branham's ministry? It is divine revelation. That is what gave you and I the shout. In its climax, Jesus is coming, adorn yourself with His garment, throw away creeds and dogma, come out of man-made systems, follow the revelation of truth, stay with the Word. This made the bride to begin to throw away every dogma, every creed, and every tradition we had embraced, straightening out ourselves, and clothing ourselves with the pure revelation of truth, as we got engaged to Jesus in a divine supernatural revelation, because a door of access was open to us, to possess supernatural truths, revelation sealed up in the Scriptures, because that is when Christ came. It is not that Christ was here physically. It is Christ manifesting Himself on earth, by His Spirit, in divine supernatural revelation. That is it. The Bible says he shall descend from heaven with a shout, and in 1963 he did. But that was only the beginning of the third pool. And we know William Branham taught us on page 564, 509, paragraph 2, 299 of the Seven Seals book, that there are three great things that go with the third pool, and it's a Bino Canyon. He said, this is the third pool, and there's three great things that goes with it, and one unfolded today, or yesterday. The other one unfolded today, and there's one thing that I cannot interpret because it's in an unknown language. As I stand right there and look right straight at it, and this is the third pool coming up, and the Holy Spirit of God. Oh my! That's the reason all heaven was silent. Since the third great thing unfolded in unknown tongues, which he could not make out. But he said it is coming up close, and that it is the seventh seal. He also revealed that the third great thing is the third phase, or the third stage of the third pool, which is a revelation of the seven thunders. I say that because the seven thunders will give us the revelation of the seventh seal at that time. Remember, the prophet showed that there are three great things, or three great phases, of the third pool. Therefore, the third pool starts with the prophet, but it does not end with him, because he said, the third phase is coming up, the third great thing is coming up, and this third thing gives us the seven thunders. Listen now, because we are looking at the third pool, in relation to the three steps into the rapture. We know the first step into the rapture is a shout. It is Jesus Christ revealed in a message, in a divine revelation, getting a bride, calling her out of man-made systems, making her to embrace a truth, to adorn her soul for the translation that is just ahead. That is the shout. That is what it accomplishes. But the shout is also what gave us the beginning phase, or the first phase of the third pool, the first great thing, because the shout in its revelatory climax is the third pool. As such, the shout, which is the first step into the rapture, translates to the third pool in its first phase. Now we come to the second step into the rapture, the voice of the archangel. But remember, it is Christ in everything. Christ shall descend himself, but by his spirit, and not physically. And when he even comes in the rapture, only the bride will see him, because we will meet him in the clouds. It is up in the air we meet him, and only the rapture saints will see him. We know that the first step into the rapture, the shout, is the third pool in its first phase. For the third pool in its first phase gave us the shout in its climax, and is the message of William Branham, which is none other than the pure wholesome revelation of Jesus Christ contained in the scriptures, truths from which we derailed after the first church age, truths which God used the prophet to restore us back to. But he also added other things from the pages of the Bible, truths buried through time, which we did not understand. That is why it took him, under Christ, to take us into the rock of revealed truth, the rock of divine revelation. Therefore, the message of the prophet is the shout. It is Jesus in a divine revelation, and this gives us the third pool in its first phase. But what about the second step into the rapture, the voice of the archangel? The voice of the archangel is none other than the voice or the message of the mighty angel, the angel you see in Revelation 10 verses 1 to 4, who comes down to earth in the spirit realm with the open scroll. His voice activates the voices of the seven thunders after the seventh seal is broken to prophetically instruct the elect bride concerning the rapture event itself. Therefore, the voice of the archangel is the voice of the seven thunders. I said the voice of the archangel is the voice of the seven thunders. It is plain. I know what Richard Gant said. I care less for what he says. Anybody can say anything. Unless it flashes with this word, you are only making noise. I have already dealt with Richard Gant's erroneous teaching on this issue, in the light of the scriptures, in another message, and as such, I am not going to waste my time on it except to reinforce the truth by touching his erroneous teaching, in a measure, from the last line of page 127, in his book titled, The Revelation of Jesus Christ, Richard Gant wrote concerning 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16, in parenthesis, for example in bracket. Note, each phase of Christ coming for his bride is with a spoken word ministry, with a shout ministry of the seventh church age messenger, calling the saints out of Babylonism, with the voice of an archangel ministry of the ascension gifts, fivefold ministry, perfecting the saints in the word, and with the trump of God ministry of the seven thunders, transforming the saints for the translation. It looks good the way he presented it, but it is nothing but blatant error. It is a lie. The voice of the archangel cannot be the ministry of the fivefold ministry. There is no basis for such a wild assumption, for it is not. And neither is a trump, the ministry of the seven thunders. It is not. This is a complete model of the Bible prophetic picture. He wrote on page 116, paragraph 2, having studied all the relevant portions of the scriptures, I can say without a shadow of doubt that the seven thunders represent seven men whom the seven spirits will identify with and walk through just before the rapture of the true church. I have to ask, if it is a walk before the rapture, then how can it also constitute the last trump under which the dead rise first? This does not make sense. Yet he concluded, the voices of the seven thunders will be heard by every true believer of Christ. It will be the sounding of the last trump of God to the word bride to bring about a change in her body for to meet her word groom in the air. This is not a revelation. This is a blatant modeling of Bible prophecy. I say that with respect to the man. But the souls of God's people is too precious to be subjected to such warped carnal interpretation. The day is too far spent to bear with men who pervert the truth of life, and by it subvert the souls of men. These men have brought nothing but confusion to the movement for the past decades since the death of the prophet. But since it is scripturally settled that perfection, which is strictly by the fivefold ministry, must be accomplished before the seventh seal is broken and before the seven thunders are ignited, to instruct the bride prophetically concerning the rapture events, I therefore have to ask, just where in the scriptures, and how can you relate the voice of the archangel to the fivefold ministry? And where in the scriptures, and how can you also relate the seven thunders to the last trump? It does not make any scriptural sense. Saints of God, you have to see that this angel in Revelation 10 verses 1 to 4 is a mighty angel, an archangel, anointed of God to convey or characterize Christ's very image, and to deal and speak in his person. This angelic revelation in representation of Jesus Christ is therefore what will give us the revelation of the seventh seal silence and instruct us prophetically concerning the rapture event proper through the seven thunders, period. Therefore, this mighty angel in Revelation 10 verses 1 to 4, manifesting as Jesus Christ, the angel of the covenant, is the archangel of 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16, who bears a voice. The voice of the revelation of Jesus Christ, prophetically called the voice of the archangel. You cannot get out of it scripturally, for it is the same angel in both prophetic texts. And this archangel characterizes Jesus the Christ. Therefore, the voice of the archangel is the message of the seven thunders, for it is the loud voice of the mighty angel in Revelation 10 verse 3 that ignites their ministry. And it is the same voice they bear for the bride. It is not the fivefold ministry. Church, Richard Gann does not know what he is talking about. Moreover, he also tells us that when we look at Revelation 10, with the open scroll in the hand of Jesus Christ, some people are putting emphasis on the wrong things. I have to ask, what is the thing that we should put emphasis on in Revelation 10 verses 1 to 4? Now give it to me. If it is not the scroll, that is the book of redemption. For about 2,000 years, Jesus Christ has been sitting on his mediatorial throne to intercede for the contents of that scroll, the seeds of God, the subjects of the scroll. No man could even look at the scroll. No man could touch or take it until John began to weep in the spirit, because he realized man is lost without a worthy person to take the scroll of redemption, the title deed. But an elder had to console him. Don't weep, John, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed, and is worthy to take the book, and to break the seals thereof. Praise God! That brought joy and peace of mind to John in the spirit. And Jesus took the scroll, sat on the throne, on the basis of what he accomplished for you and I, and began to break the seals in 1963. Church, listen to me. You can break six seals, but as long as one seal is on the scroll, it is not yet fully opened. It is as such, not yet an open scroll. And if you think it is a lie, simply take a sheet of paper, roll it up, tie it with seven seals or strings, and lose six of the seals. I tell you, one seal still holds it. And until the seventh is broken, it is still not a fully open scroll. It is not. Thank God John also previewed the breaking of the seventh seal on the scroll of redemption in Revelation chapter 8 verse 1. Immediately thereafter we see him in Revelation chapter 10 verses 1 to 3, with the fully open scroll in his hand, as he comes to prepare a people prophetically for the rapture. And you want to say that looking at the scroll is looking at the wrong thing. What else do you want to look at in Revelation 10 verses 1 and 2? Mr. Gann, in this prophetic picture, Jesus Christ came down in the Spirit, as characterized by a mighty angel, with the open scroll in his hand, and with a rainbow upon his head. Then he made a stand, a universal stand, on the sea and on the earth, and cried with a loud voice. That gives us precisely the voice of the archangel that synchronizes Revelation 10 verses 1 to 4 with 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16. It does, because it is Jesus Christ revealing himself in the Spirit through an archangel. Paul declared, "For the Lord himself shall descend." It is Jesus Christ in the shout, and it is Jesus Christ in the voice of the archangel. All is preparatory, and all is leading into the rapture. That is what 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16 is all about. Therefore, the voice of the archangel is the voice of the seven thunders. You have to see it. It was Jesus Christ in an earthly, human, angel, messenger, William Branham, giving forth the shout, and it will be Jesus Christ in a heavenly, spirit, angel, giving forth the voice of the archangel through the thunders. It should be as plain as day. Therefore, the voice of the archangel, the second step into the rapture, is the prophetic message of the seven thunders, and that is what will give us the third and final phase of the third pool. That is scripturally incontestable. It holds, for the second step into the rapture, the voice of the archangel correlates with the third phase of the third pool. Amen and amen. It is written, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." That is first. That gives you order. The Spirit of the Lord did not lump everything together at the same time and dump it on our lap. The Bible gives us order, precise order. That is why we talk of three steps. Brother Isaac Ogadinmo was telling us about a message he listened to on the television by this man in Glory Christian Center in Lagos. He went to 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16, read these three steps, and said, "When the Lord comes on the day of rapture, we will know it." And there are people who believe that when the Lord comes, he will take some Baptists, he will take some Methodists, he will take some Pentecostals, etc. What barbell that will create up in heaven? The Catholic will go up with his rosary, praying, "Hail Mary, full of grace." And then the Anglican will go up with his 32 articles of the Anglican Communion. Gentiles are a foolish people. And yet, according to the Bible, we are supposed to come into the unity of the faith and also shine here on earth in Christ's image before we go up there. Before we go in the rapture, we will shine here. That is what the quick short perfecting work will accomplish. God is going to make us as a wave sheaf before the world. He will say, "Look at her. Look at the bride. Have you seen Christians like this before?" This is the book of Acts reenacted. Hallelujah. Church, to summarize what we have taken so far on our charts, here is the shout, call or coded red. It is the first phase of the third pool. It is Elijah's message. That is the first step into the rapture. It is Jesus Christ in a man, by his Spirit, unveiling himself from the pages of the scriptures to the end time bride. The man is not Jesus, no more than Paul was Jesus. And if we know Paul was not Jesus, then it too was not Jesus. But Paul bore the revelation of Jesus Christ, and he said, "No other foundation can any man lay other than what I have laid, as a wise master builder." full stop. He said, God saved the Gentiles by my gospel. That did not make him a savior, but it shows you who he was and what he bore on behalf of the Gentile bride. And the truth of Christ he bore is an absolute. The Lord himself shall descend first with a shout. That is the message of Elijah. It gives us the first phase of the third pool. But the next step into the rapture is the voice of the archangel. Because that shout gave us the revelation of the first six seals. But the voice of the archangel will give us the revelation of the seventh seal. It is the voice of the thunders, because the thunders will bear the revelation of the seventh seal. Remember, the voice of the archangel is expressed in the thunders, because the antenna of seven men will catch the loud cry of the mighty angel, and they will log on to that which Jesus Christ speaks in the Spirit, through a mighty angel. A mighty angel means an archangel, and he gave his cry in the Spirit with a loud voice. It is the voice of the archangel. But remember this, the shout, the message of William Branham, which is none other than Jesus in his divine revelation through the ministry of Elijah, gave us the first fold, or the first phase, or the first stage, of the third pool. But he told us, the third great thing of the third pool flew across before him, and it is coming up, being a future event, but it flew across in an unknown tongue, which he couldn't make out. But he tied it to the seventh seal silence. And when he came to the seventh seal, he said, I saw a message in tongues, and the interpretation of it, but I still couldn't make it out, because it passed in unknown language. But church, the revelation of it will come through the seven thunders. He said, it is something about the rapture, the coming of Jesus Christ, and no man knows that day. But it is an event concerning which the whole of heaven hushed. The third phase of the third pool is what I presented on the chart in black. The black has no significance. It is a mere color code. It is a color code just to let you see the three phases of the third pool, because the red phase here is Elijah input. The next phase in blue is the second phase of the third pool, which in essence is the phase that follows Elijah input, and that is the input of our modern day chief apostle, the Paul of today, Raymond Jackson, and John, the successive standard bearer and lead apostle for today, because that gives you only one phase. Which phase? The apostolic phase, which is the second phase of the third pool. But the last phase of the third pool, which is the third phase, is in unknown tongues. And it is the message of the seven thunders. They will give us the revelation of the seventh seal. That is the voice of the archangel, because the seven thunders will catch his message in the Spirit and minister it to the bride. It is coming straight from heaven. For the Lord shall descend from heaven first with a shout, an awakening preparatory message, the message of Elijah, the first phase of the third pool, then with the voice of the archangel, giving us prophetic insight for the rapture event, the message of the seven thunders, the third phase of the third pool, and finally, and with the trump of God. But remember, when the trump sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Let me open up this third and final step into the rapture by saying this. The living saints hear the shout. The living saints hear the voice of the archangel. But when it comes to the trump of God, the last trump, please note that no living saint will hear it. And it is not the seven thunders. The seven thunders have nothing to do with the last trump, except that they prepare us for the rapture. The trump is a divine message, ministered strictly in the corridors of heaven, to the souls of God's people waiting in paradise, for the resurrection, the bride resurrection. It is to prepare them for the resurrection event. Are you with me? This is precisely the revelation of the chief apostle, Brother Jackson, and I will back it up with the scriptures. Remember, the souls of God's people waiting in paradise, who are part of the bride, are the ones that make up the second phase of the first resurrection, the bride resurrection, they that are Christ's at his coming. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 23. The Old Testament saints have already been resurrected in glorified bodies, according to Matthew 27, verses 52 to 53, and 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23a. Leaving the tribulation saints last. All bright saints sleeping in paradise in heaven are all coming with Christ from heaven. Therefore, Something has to prepare them for their descent to earth, in order to unite their spirits with their bodies, so that the quickening power can come upon their corrupt bodies in the belly of the earth, for resurrection to take place. And that is exactly why they rise first. Because when the trump was sounded, do not forget, the dead in Christ rise first. I ask, what kind of message will that be, when those in paradise would hear it, and under the trump, under the message, their spirits would unite with their bodies, whilst as yet, no living saint is aware that anything of the sort is going on, until the dead subsequently rise, and manifest in a moment, to the living saints. Think of it. Only then do the living saints receive a change, by the quickening power that subsequently and suddenly comes upon them. They hear nothing, but are simply changed, before being caught up. Then it concludes that the trump is a divine message that will be uttered to the saints in paradise, and no living saint will hear it. And if in 1 Peter 3 verses 18 to 19, Christ also preached to the souls in prison, who were disobedient in the days of Noah, you cannot take away the message of Christ here to the saints in paradise. Do not forget, when the Old Testament saints rose from the dead, after Christ's resurrection, according to Matthew 27 verses 52 to 53, no living saints heard anything. They did not hear the trump that woke the dead saints up. The living saints only saw the resurrected saints when they appeared to them. Prior to that, they heard nothing. They did not hear the trump. And when the sleeping bright saints are resurrected in this sad day, and they appear for a few seconds to the living bright saints, on the day and hour of rapture, we shall not hear the last trump either. With the resurrection having taken place, the quickening power will simply and suddenly come upon the living saints, and we shall be changed first, before being caught up with the resurrected saints. Period. Yes, all these happen under the last trump, but the living saints will not hear it. Moreover, if under the trump, the dead in Christ rise first, then the trump is something that prepares the dead in Christ to unite with their bodies. Simple. It cannot be plainer. The trump, therefore, is something that is uttered in the corridors of glory, to prepare them. You have been up here now in paradise for ages of time. Now is the time to go down. We are going down. Prepare for the descent. Don't forget, a trumpet in prophecy speaks of the voice of God, for it is the divine message, bringing about a convocation. Therefore, there has to go forth a message in paradise to gather all the sleeping bright saints and prepare them for their descent to the earth. That is what the trump is about. Those in heaven will hear it. That is why they rise first, ever before the living saints are aware the resurrection has started. That is precisely what the Spirit of the Lord revealed to Apostle Paul when he declared prophetically concerning our gathering together unto the Lord in the rapture. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, for example the bright saints in paradise, will God bring with him. Absolutely. Christ first brings their spirits. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 14. They have to be brought forth first, that they may be united first with their bodies, before they are resurrected. Moreover, they are resurrected first. Therefore, something, a trump, has to prepare them for this great event. Think about it. That trumpet prepares the sleeping saints for the resurrection event, because their spirits will first be united with their bodies. And that is why as Christians, we do not believe in cremation. When some pagans die, they request, burn me up, scatter my ashes to the ocean. It is because they do not have a hope. It is because they do not have the hope of resurrection. Why would you want them to burn up your bones, and burn up your flesh, and scatter your remains to the sea? But I will tell you this, I do not care what you do with my flesh. Whether you have money to bury me, or you do not have money to bury me, just put me somewhere in the earth, let me rot there. Because when the trump sounds, oh my, I am coming forth. It does not matter how I get in, getting out is what matters. East Chicago Church in the United States used to sing a song, ain't no grave can hold me down. No grave can hold the saints down. They are coming forth. First with a shout, and then with the voice of the archangel, finally with a trump. But when the trump sounds, then, First, the dead in Christ rise. How do they rise? Their spirits are first brought from heaven to unite with their bodies, that the power of resurrection may come upon them, and they rise incorruptible, in the very image and likeness of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Brothers, when Jesus rose from the dead, here were the saints. They were so afraid of the Jews because of the serious satanic opposition the people of the way faced. They shut the door, shut all the windows, locked themselves in the upper room, and without opening the door, Jesus entered and said, "Peace." They thought, "Oh, he didn't open the door and yet he came in. This must be a ghost. This is a ghost." Because he did not open the door before coming in. He did not need to, because he had a glorified body, the mortal Jesus. Brothers, he entered and said, "Peace." And they began to quake, thinking, "We have seen a ghost." He said, "I am not a ghost. It is the same me. Do you have fish? Do you have bread? Let me eat with you, and you become. Only have faith. Thomas, where are you? You said unless you put your finger. Now, come and put it. It is still the same me. I still have the holes. Only believe." Saints of God, when the hour comes, Jesus comes with their spirits. Brothers and sisters, the quickening power comes upon that flesh that has decayed and rotted, and that has turned back to earth. God calls back for the chemicals of it. He calls back for potash, calcium, whatever chemicals, whatever composition you are made of. He brings everything back, and the power of the Spirit of life comes on it, and your spirit comes into the same body. But it is a body like Jesus' body. And like I will say, America is only a thought away. All you need when you are in the body, you think it, and in a second, you are there. Here you are in the millennium, ruling over Nigeria, as Nigerian bright saints, just as the other saints, will rule over their nations, and when you look, you will be seeing exactly what is going on in America, because as you are in Nigeria, you might as well be in America. Because you see the streets of New York, and what is going on. You know why. You are a superhuman being, with a glorified body. One second you are here, another second you are already in Germany. It is a thought away. Distance is not a barrier to a spirit being. No mountains, no hills, no trees stand in your way. Brothers, Japan is just as plain before you as the country you are standing in. That is why they could close all the doors, close all the windows, and Jesus could breathe in without opening a latch, and they started fearing. Yet, in the glorified body, he could eat. He ate fish and bread. Elohim also met Abraham and ate meat. And they say we must be vegetarians. But God ate meat. He licked everything whilst discussing with Abraham about the destruction of Sodom with milk in his mouth. You say, "Brother Amos, we should not take too much milk." God took milk. If your body constitution does not take milk like me, do not take it, please. That is only common sense. Church, that body is a supernatural body. It is no more just a natural body. That is, it is supernatural, it is immortal, it is glorified. You can come and go as you want. When a man, in the millennium, is talking to you about the experiences of his life is just before you as an open book. That is why in the millennium, there will be no lawyers. There is no need. Because when those mortal subjects have a problem, and they are arguing before you, "No, no, he was the one that did this. No, no, he stole my goods. No, I did not." But you know everything, how it started, what took place, all is before you. For you are looking at it all, for we are superhuman beings in that day. Nevertheless, the trump will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise. It means their spirits will be united with their bodies, because their body will be glorified, and out of the graves they will rise, first, before we are even changed. Because we will not prevent them or hinder them. Only after this will we be changed. Remember, when Christ rose from the dead, after his crucifixion, he rose with the spirits of saints already in paradise, which was then in the belly of the earth, that is in hell or in prison. And when he comes from heaven, he also comes with the souls of the bright saints in paradise, which is now in heaven. That is why I said, The trump does not sound to any living saint. It is what prepares the dead saints for reunion with their bodies in the grave. They come down from heaven under the trump. But brothers and sisters, listen. One thing stands clear. The mortals are the ones that are going to be blessed and edified by the first two steps into the rapture, the shout, and the voice of the archangel. And all that is giving you divine revelation. But the third step, the last trump, is strictly for the sleeping saints. God is perfect in all his ways. Remember, it is not only the living saints that are going in rapture. The sleeping bright saints are also going up too. They will be caught up. But they must first unite with their bodies. That is why we living saints receive first a change, before we are caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. So, I repeat, something must prepare the sleeping bright saints for that event. That is the last trump. No living saints will hear the trump. Now, we come back to the third pool. We have seen that there are three steps into the rapture, and the third pool also gives us three phases. The first phase of the third pool, which is Elijah's message, gave us a shout, and the last phase of the third pool, which is the seven thunders, will give us the voice of the archangel. The first phase of the third pool gave us the revelation of the first six seals, and the last phase will give us the revelation of the seventh seal. The first one ministered for a few years, but the last one will be for a prophetic time of about 30 minutes. But you may say, the first one ministered for a few years, Brother Amos. Yes. When he entered into the third pool of his ministry, it was only for a few years, about 2.5 years precisely. We are not talking of the period of the first two pools of his ministry, healing and discernment. We are talking of the third pool of his ministry. It started in 1963, and in December 1965, he passed away, and he left us for good, even as he forewarned us. But the longest phase of the third pool, which gives us the apostolic revelation input, is what has been going on now for decades, since 1966, up till this very hour. And it will continue on till perfection is obtained, and the time is here for us to enter into the ministry of the seven thunders under the seventh seal. Church, the seven thunders, who constitute the voice of the archangel in projection or in manifestation, minister only for about 30 prophetic minutes, because the silence in heaven is for the space of about half an hour after the seventh seal is broken. This period of silence therefore gives you the duration of their ministry. It is not that it would be half an hour, or 30 minutes, exactly. That is why it says about. That translates prophetically to weeks and months. Whether 3 months, 6 months, only God knows. But it is for a very short prophetic period of about 30 minutes, wherein they will give divine instructions, prophetic instructions, to the bride. But this is not the trump. It is not. Going back to Brother Branham's quote on the third pool, he declared, there are three phases, three great things that go with the third pool. The first unfolded yesterday. That was to let him know the third pool has three phases, and his own ministry started it. Then he added, the second one unfolded today. That is precisely the apostolic phase of the third pool, which is the second phase of the third pool. He saw this second phase that very day, before the message in an unknown tongue passed before him later that day, which is the third phase of the third pool, and which relates to the seventh seal silence. But he saw the second phase by divine revelation. That is what unfolded before him that day, which is what he said unfolded before him today. It is the apostolic ministry phase, bearing continuity divine revelation, constituting the second phase of the third pool. That was why he stated emphatically, on page 567, paragraph 4, it may be the time, it may be the hour now, that this great person that we're expecting to rise on the scene may rise on the scene. Right there he gave us the next phase of the third pool, which starts with the office of the chief apostle, Raymond Jackson. And that is why he ended by saying firmly and categorically, I have been privileged to look and see to that extent. That is how he closed the projection of He That Is To Come. When he closed the projection of He That Is To Come, on page 567, he said precisely, but I have been privileged by God to look and see what it was unfold to that much. Now that is the truth. Why did he affirm that? Because he saw something unfold yesterday about his own ministry, and something else unfolded today about another ministry, all related to the third pool, the second great thing, or the second phase of it. And the other, the third thing, flew before him in an unknown tongue. And he said, "It is the third pool coming up, so be prepared." He did not say, "We have it." He said, "Be prepared for it." That is the voice of the seven thunders, which is the voice of the archangel. Having said this much, there is a very material question we now have to ask. If the shout is Elijah's message, and the voice of the archangel is the message of the seven thunders, how do we place the apostolic ministry input? That is, what happened from 1966 to the era of time the seven thunders are ignited? What about the second phase of the third pool, the apostolic revelation of Raymond Jackson and John? What do we call it in relation to the three steps into the rapture? Are you with me? If the first phase of the third pool gives us the shout, which is Elijah's message, and the third phase of the third pool gives us the voice of the archangel, which is the message of the seven thunders, what about the second phase of the third pool in relation to 1 Thessalonians 4, the three steps into the rapture? What does it give us? Doesn't it give us something? What does it give us in relation to the three steps into the rapture? Knowing that the third step, the trump, is strictly for the dead saints. Are you with me? That is, what relation is there between the apostolic revelation, the second great thing of the third pool, and the three steps into the rapture? It is this: everything God will accomplish, he accomplishes it on the basis of the voice of the seventh angel. But let me say this: Elijah in his third pool, in its first phase, gives us the first step into the rapture, the shout. The seven thunders, in the third phase of the third pool, will give us the second step into the rapture, the voice of the archangel. The question we now want to answer is, since Elijah gave us the shout, what does the second phase of the third pool give us? On our chart, the color red gives us the first phase of the third pool, the blue gives us the second phase of the third pool, and the black gives us the third phase of the third pool. These three colors are mere colors, symbolizing the three phases of the third pool. Red, for the first phase of the third pool. Blue, for the second phase of the third pool. And black, for the third and final phase of the third pool. All right. When we come to 1 Thessalonians 4 verses 16 to 17, we see the red, because we see the shout, the message of Elijah. And then we see the black, because we see the voice of the archangel, the message of the seven thunders. But we do not see the blue, the message of the apostles, the second phase of the third pool, in 1 Thessalonians 4 verses 16 to 17. Why? What is the relation? Let me try and wrap up my message now. Listen closely. One thing we must understand, the shout is different from the voice of the archangel, yet both is by the Spirit of Christ, and yet both give us divine revelation, a divine revelation which starts with the shout and ends with the voice of the archangel. It is supernatural revelation. But we still have to ask, what of the second phase of the third pool in relation to the three steps? Because only the first two steps of 1 Thessalonians 4 apply here on our chart in relation to the third pool, and those two steps apply to the first and third phases of the third pool. We see the voice of the archangel, and we see the shout in the third pool. But what of the blue color, the apostolic phase, the second phase of the third pool? How do we relate to it? It is this: saints of God, I repeat, do not forget, the shout is different from the voice of the archangel. Why? Because the shout is salvational, but the voice of the archangel is not salvational. It is strictly prophetic. Why do I call the shout salvational? Because under the shout, brothers and sisters, God is saving souls, getting a bride from the religious world, preparing them for glory, and the door is still open this morning. So the salvational testimony of Jesus is still being carried on. It is a shout. But when the thunders come, constituting the voice of the archangel, because it is Jesus Christ by his Spirit in the thunders, when that prophetic picture becomes a reality, from then on, among the Gentiles, Nobody can be saved, for example, when the thunders are on ground, because the seventh seal would have been broken prior to that time. Even the Jews that are to be saved in the last week of Daniel would have already been interceded for prior to the last week, because once Jesus breaks the seventh seal, he must leave the throne, and once he leaves the mediatorial throne, he does not return to it again. So, the Gentile foolish virgins that would remain and pass into the last week of Daniel would have been saved before the seventh seal is broken, and the Jewish saints that would be saved in the last week would have all been fully interceded for. So as far as God is concerned, once the last week starts, salvation is completely over for the Gentiles. It is only for the Jews salvation remains. As such, you must understand, once the seven thunders are here, it shows the seventh seal has been broken, and Christ has left the mediatorial throne. He would no longer be going back to the throne, for salvation is over for the Gentiles, and he is here in the Spirit to prepare the bride for the rapture event. When would that be, Brother Amos? As I said before, it is in year 2000 plus. We do not know when, but one thing we know, it is for a short space of time the thunders will minister, and then the rapture comes, because their ministry gives us the season of the rapture. So, you must understand, there is no salvation under the seven thunders. It is strictly a prophetic message to instruct a people for the rapture event, a people who are already saved and built up in the spiritual image of Jesus Christ. But that shout still gives man salvation, being the message of the cross, the message of Christ. Then, it means this, the ministry of the Paul of today, the chief apostle, Raymond Jackson, and that of John, the lead apostle, which give us apostolic continuity revelation, the second phase of the third pool, is still a carry-on of the shout. I said, the continuity message that the apostolic ministry bears in the second phase of the third pool is still an extension of the shout. Because brothers and sisters, God is still saving men in this second phase. There is salvation in the third pool, under the first phase, as well as under the second phase. That is why the apostolic phase is still an extension of the shout. It is still the voice of the seventh angel in continuity. That is why, when you come to 1 Thessalonians 4, you only see two steps applicable to the living saints. In relation to the third pool, you see the shout, and you see the voice of the archangel. You do not see the in-between phase, the apostolic revelation. You know why? Because the in-between, which is the apostolic ministry, giving continuity light, is only an extension, a carry-on of the shout. That is why it is written, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, not in the days of his flesh, but it is in the days when his message has application, when it is going around the world, when his message is being published, when it shall begin to sound, the mystery, definite article, the singular mystery, not mysteries, plural. But the mystery of God, the grafting in of the Gentiles for salvation, will be completed. You are looking at a completion message, giving opportunity to men for salvation, because he did not start it, but he completes it. And church, it is on the basis of his voice everything is being wrapped up. But that voice gives us a chance to salvation, and a chance to be bride. And it is in the time of the application of his voice that God would ramp up the salvation of the Gentiles, both wise and foolish virgins. So, the second phase of the third pool is an extension of the shout, because it is still a message of salvation. We will not be hasty and run ahead of God. We will all make it by the leadership of God. There is no seed that will be left behind. If you are able to run faster than others, remember the others coming behind will also make it. I say that because we can be very selfish and impatient with others. You may feel, Brother Amos, please move on. Move on. No, no, no. We do not want to lose anyone. Saints of God, let me reaffirm. The third pool started with the prophet, and it ends with the thunders. But the in-between revelatory dealing of God gives us the second phase of the third pool, the apostolic phase. And he warned us ahead of this phase when he alerted us about the person that is to rise on the scene, he that is to come, the chief apostle, Raymond Jackson. But church, in December 2004, Brother Jackson passed away, leaving the apostolic input to John to carry on the second phase of the third pool. That is why on the chart, you see both ministries bonded together by the same blue color, for it gives us the same phase, or the same great thing. For after the chief apostle's death, God still carried on the third pool, and he will carry on, right through to the thunders. But this does not give us four phases of the third pool. It is still only three phases, because Paul and John give you the apostolic input, the second phase. It gives continuity to the message of Elijah, brightening the picture, making it clearer, making it better, adding all the truths to it, to give us a perfect revelation of the truth of Christ. Everything comes to a climax with the thunders. When we look at Revelation chapter 19, which is the last scripture we are going to read, something happened. From verse 9, "And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And may I say this, the invitation for the marriage supper is going on right now. But what this text really means is, blessed are those that are elected to attend unto that marriage, because it is up in heaven, and he saith unto me, These are the true saints of God. I am going to verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant. He said that because he is only an angel. And angels are also ministers of God, but they minister in a higher capacity than human messengers. But both angelic messengers and human messengers of the Almighty God minister in the various capacities God has given to them. Angels receive the revelation from God and convey it to the human messenger who would bear that revelation or voice to God's children. It is a partnership. It is a teamwork established according to God's ordination. That is why the angel rebuked John, saying, Don't worship me. I am your fellow servant. In other words, I am a servant of God just like you. And then we have some end-time message people who say that this angel John tried to worship is William Branham. William Branham, saint of God, was not even 60 years old when he died. Is that true? Yes, it is. William Branham was not 60 years before he died. He was born in April 1909 and he died in December 1965. He fell short of 60 years. How can a man born in 1909 deal with a man who lived in 96 or Dodi? Do you see how ridiculous people can be? This angel is a heavenly angel. It is a spirit angel. But John was so overwhelmed with the fantastic experience he had, how he was taken from one corridor of heaven to the other, and taken through time, in a spiritual vision, beholding wonderful prophetic things that were beyond any human comprehension at that time. You know what he did? He just fell at the angel's feet to worship him. The angel said, Please, get up. And then the Yoruba people of Western Nigeria do it for their parents and elders. You did not hear me, I said. An act of worship which an angel rejected, the Yoruba people accept, the prostrate, Good morning, Daddy. Yes, they do it out of respect, but prostrating is an extreme act of respect, for it amounts spiritually to an act of worship. It is pagan to do that. That is something to think about. It is such a shame that brethren cannot even shake one another in greetings, unless they prostrate. Old habits die hard. They die hard. They do. He fell down at the feet of the angel. I know some will say, Brother Amos, you are trying to bring in Western influence. The angel too had Western influence. I have to say it like that to make a point. Because in 96 AD, there was no Western civilization yet. Rome was still in the days of its raw paganism, and the ten horns had not yet formed on its head. The angel said, Don't worship me. Why did he say that? I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. What was his admonition? Worship God. He further says, For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That statement is prophetic. It is the angel's way of showing John, you know why you had this fantastic experience. It is because the spirit by which you bear the gospel of Christ is the same spirit that has given you this fantastic prophetic experience. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. that lets you see the testimony of Jesus carries forth a salvational anointing and a salvational message before it becomes a prophetic anointing and a prophetic message. But because John had lived up to about the end of his ministry, his anointing had to change into a prophetic one, setting a prophetic type for the end-time apostolic ministry. The anointing upon his life changed from an anointing bearing a salvational message to one bearing a prophetic message. The anointing upon John changed from a salvational anointing to one that is prophetic. Do not forget, he was an apostle. But look at the prophetic experience he had. That is why in all the Bible, when you look at the experience Peter, James, Paul, Jude had, none of them had that which John had. You know why? Because you are looking at a prophetic projection. Salvation was not over in John's day, but he was foreshadowing something, because this is the day salvation will be over. Wake up! Salvation was not over in 96 AD, but John's experience was foreshadowing a reality we are going to have at this evening time, because this is the day salvation will be over. And when it is over, we must enter into the third phase of the third pool. When this second phase of the third pool is over, when this apostolic phase is over, we will no longer bear a salvational message. It will be strictly a prophetic message. That is what John foreshadowed in his experience. We are going to be the beneficiaries of the reality of this experience. Saints, what a day we live in! He was so perplexed at the enormity and the majesty of the dealership of the Spirit, the experience, and the insight, the prophetic insight. He did not know what else to do, how to show his appreciation. He looked at the angel who was taking him round in the Spirit, and he fell down at his feet. In other words, thank you. But the angel held him by the hand and said, get up. Don't worship me. Worship God. I am your fellow servant. But you know, it is the angel's way of telling John something, and I want to rub it in before I bring my message to a close. It is the angel's way of telling John, this wonderful experience you had is to show you that once salvation is over, that same Spirit, which conveys a salvational message, will change into a prophetic anointing, bearing strictly a prophetic voice. When Gentile salvation is over, the testimony of Jesus by which we are saved must change to a prophetic spirit. It is a simple statement, but it is prophetic. That was why, as an apostle, after he had borne the revelation of truth for his day, as a standard bearer after Paul, are you with me? His ministry changed into a prophetic one. It is foreshadowing the reality we will have. It was so fantastic, he wanted to worship the angel. The angel had to explain to him, in prophetic language, the reason you are having that experience is because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. In other words, this testimony you bear, this salvation testimony, this salvation spirit you bear, is first a salvational anointing, but when salvation is complete, it must change to a prophetic anointing. That is why you must see that the ministry of the apostles, at the same time, the second great thing of the third pool, is an extension of the shout, because it is still salvational. You must see that the second phase of the third pool is still a salvational phase. It is the shouting extension. This is not abracadabra. But when salvation is accomplished, and the seventh seal is broken, showing that the Gentile saints of God have been fully purchased, church, that message will change from a message of salvation strictly to that of prophecy, and the anointing will change to a prophetic anointing. Brothers and sisters, when an apostle, who bore the standard of truth, after the star messenger of his day, got to the end of his ministry, having borne a salvational message, the anointing of God came upon his life, and the anointing changed into a prophetic one. And I would have to say this, if John, an apostle, in 96 AD, a man who bore the standard, had his anointing changed into a prophetic one, foreshadowing something, so will the John of today, a man who also took over from the chief apostle, Raymond Jackson. On the 25th of December, 1965, God called away the prophet, ending the first phase of the third pool, and early in the following year, because divine revelation continues, God anointed he that is to come, the Paul of today, leading us into the second phase of the third pool. Divine revelation continued, but it is still salvational. It is still the continuation of the shout. But church, in December 2004, the Paul of today died. For the Paul of today is not William Branham, but Raymond Jackson, the chief apostle. And I want the Branham movement to understand that the Paul of today is not William Branham. The Paul of the New Testament was an apostle. William Branham was not an apostle. He was a prophet, and his ministry laid the foundation for the projection of the Ephesian ministry, which starts first with apostles. Moreover, he was an Old Testament type prophet, Pheno New Testament prophet bore a revelation of truth. New Testament prophets came after apostles. They received from the apostles the truth of Christ they stood for and fed to the people. That was why, when that divine prophetic revelation bearing anointing was going to come, it did not come on a prophet of the New Testament. It came on an apostle, John the Beloved, showing that one's salvation is complete. Because it is foreshadowing something, our anointing will also change into a prophetic one. But church, Paul was the star messenger to that age, and so was Brother Branham to this age. That is the only similarity they have in terms of position. Brother Branham is the Paul of today, only in terms of being the star messenger to this age. However, he is not Paul in terms of office, because he, William Branham, is an Old Testament type prophet, a prophet higher than the New Testament prophets. For the New Testament prophets come after the apostles in divine order or rank, and Apostle Paul was not a prophet at all, but was an apostle of Jesus Christ in the New Testament church. And I challenge any man in the message to bring just one verse of scripture to nullify that. The Paul of today, in terms of office, as the principal apostle within the Ephesian ministry, is the chief apostle, and that is Raymond Jackson, the one William Branham said was to come. He said he saw the revelation of the third pool unfold to that much. He saw the second great thing that started with the Paul of today. But remember, Brother Jackson is not Paul in terms of being a star messenger, because he is not. But he is Paul, strictly in terms of essence of office, as an apostle. For he is not just an apostle, he is the chief apostle, the principal office of the entire Ephesian ministry. When God called him home in the year 2004, after having shed extensive and incredible depths of light upon light, seriously extending the shout, in 2005, God anointed the takeover ministry. But the chief apostle, before his death, just as Brother Branham did in 1963, also pointed ahead to the next voice. And church, in the year 2005, another voice picked up. No. That did not give us a different phase of the third pool. It is still a continuation of the second phase of the third pool, because it still gives us apostolic revelation. It is still an extension of the shout, because salvation is still available. God is begging you today to come into the true light of Christ, if you're not already in. And I earnestly plead with you, please come in. Receive the invitation, because that is how we are going to close this message, knowing that there is an invitation going forth. Please receive it, so you can be part of the bride. Remember, there is coming a day, just as John the beloved apostle came to an era of time, when the anointing of God changed upon his life into a prophetic one, so will it be with thee, John, at this hour, a man who will bear the last portion of the continuity message needed to complete the shout. And the anointing upon him will also change as we led into the thunders. Remember that. It will change into what? Strictly a prophetic anointing. I do not care where you look in the Bible, whichever way, the John of today has to be a thunder. I do not care where you look, but before we move into the thunders, which is the last phase of the third pool, together church, we will reenact the book of Acts as God brings perfection to the bride, and off we go to glory under the ministry of the thunders. Hallelujah. We are here, church, in the year 2006, in the latter half of the second phase of the third pool. Between here and the seven thunders, a lot must happen for the bride of Christ. But that which will happen in a quick, short, perfecting walk through the life efficient fivefold ministry. Even the seven thunders have only a very short period within which to minister Because it is no longer salvational. But as long as we are not yet in the thunders, you must understand that the takeover ministry from the Paul of today had to be a man that is still carrying on continuity revelation, still giving us access to salvation. You have got to see that. Salvation does not stop until we enter into the ministry of the thunders, and that is the third and final phase of the third pool. Therefore, you must see that the takeover ministry, the ministry that succeeds that of the chief apostle, still has to be an apostle to carry on the second phase of the third pool. It has to be a John-type apostolic ministry, the ministry that took over from Apostle Paul, and he too still has to bear a salvational message, an extension of the shout. He will bear it until we enter the thunders, for then salvation will be over, and then the anointing upon John will change, as it will also change on six other apostles, to make up the seven thunders. As such, I do not care where you look, whether you open up the pages of the book of the prophet, or whether you come to the scriptures. Brothers, it will hold. It will hold. It will hold. And church, this latter part of the second phase of the third pool is the hour of John. There God will accomplish the perfection of the bride through the faithful ministry as we led into the thunders thereafter. As such, this day is a golden day because Jesus is coming and the majesty of God will be expressed through the bride. God has reserved the best for the last. And for the best, you are not looking at man, but God's anointing. You are looking at His dealership. You are looking at His grace. You are looking at His power. You are looking at His move. It will be a quick, short, perfecting walk, but it will be wonderful. It is later than you think. Walk in the light, and you will not stumble. This is the hour of the second phase of the third pool, the apostolic phase, the second great thing, which is an extension of the shout of wonders. For verse 16, receive it, saints, for they lead us into the thunders, the voice of the archangel. This is the Bible blueprint, for no living will hear the trump. The last message we will hear as living saints will be the unwritten prophetic message of the seven thunders, the voice of the archangel. This is the word of the Lord. And when we walk in the light, as the children of light, we have nothing to fear. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Brother Amos prayed. May God bless you. Amen.